Can open your Bibles to Psalm 71. There's a verse in this passage that has really grabbed my heart. And I like the picture of the psalmist as he portrays this picture. I struggled with how to title the message. Could put a whole list of titles to it, I believe. I'll let you title it the way you want it, but I'll share what I put for a title. Two titles I wrote down. One is, Thou art my strong refuge, and that's the phrase found in verse 7. And the other one I wrote was, God our rock dwelling place where we continually resort. And that's in verse 3, that picture is portrayed. Be thou my strong, and if you look up that word strong, in Strong's, it gives the picture of a rock. Be thou my rock. Be thou my strong habitation. The habitation is dwelling place. Where we may, he says, whereunto I may continually resort. Whereunto I may continually go. The world has a lot of places they want to go. And they go there for a variety of reasons. Usually it's they need a vacation in their minds. They're trying to get away from something that's been bothering them or the challenges of life in order to be able to go somewhere and be refreshed. And that's not all wrong. I'm not going to portray that as all wrong. But there's something important for every one of us who have learned to know Jesus, and that is this, that we come to God continually as the one who is able to supply our needs, the one who has the answers for the needs of our heart, the one who is able to continually refresh us. We go to him because we need strength. We go to him because we need encouragement. We go to him because we have troubles we need to share with him, and we need him to bear those troubles. He doesn't ask us to bear our troubles all alone. He asks us to come and put them on his shoulders, the one who is able to bear them, the one who can sustain us in the midst of our challenges. So I appreciate this picture that I get from the psalmist here in this passage as David, the writer of this psalm, portrays that in his life. I'd like us to think about that as I read the whole psalm first. What caused David to view God as a strong refuge? What caused David to do that? Think of that as I read through this passage. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many. But thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. How important this morning is this word refuge. Refuge. As you tie it with God. Refuge. How important is that in your life? You know, you think back in history, you think to those who were in the slave days and how they sought to get to escape. And some of them were able to escape. And some of them were able to go to what they considered to be a place of refuge. And what was that for them? Someone who would help them. Someone who would keep them in their way of freedom. Someone who was able to meet their needs at the time and help them on. Or you think back in the time of the persecution especially. How were those in the martyr's mirror? What gave them their refuge in the midst of such severe difficulties? What did this word refuge mean to them as it ties with God? As you think of us today, raising children, and to the little child who stubs their toe again and again, where is their place of refuge? Who is it in their life? They run to their parent, their guardian, the one that loves them. Again and again, you find refuge and love are not separated. Wherever there's refuge, there's love. And I'm impressed with that as I think of David. He had a proper view of the love of God, and so he saw God as a refuge. And he realized God loved him, and God was reaching down and working in behalf of his needs. And though he didn't always understand everything that was happening in his life, yet there was that tie of the love of God, and so God was his strong refuge. Wherever there is not love for God tied, or a view of God's love for us, we will not go to God as a refuge. Again and again, you find people, they are distraught in life. They don't have the answers to the needs of their life. And it's because of a warped concept of the love of God. And we need to grow in that understanding in our own hearts. Yes, God takes us through the valley experiences. And we may question, like Job, you know, God, where are you? God, what's happening now? And yet Job comes back again and again to faith in God as he says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he's going to stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though I'm facing all this in my body, yet in my flesh I'm going to see God. I'm going to see God." He was convinced that God was his refuge. So it doesn't matter where you are in life. Whether you're a teenager this morning and you're struggling with decisions in life and you're wanting to know, you know, where is that safe place where I can go and find some counsel? Find some direction for my life. God wants to be that safe place for you. God's love is there, and he's reaching out to each one of us today, and he wants to be that safe place. Every one of us has what we call a safe place. It might be some person that we'll go to and we'll associate with and we'll share our hearts to. But we all need to have this safe place, this refuge that is in Jesus Christ, where we can pour out our soul and all its fears or frustrations. Yes, we need earthly friends. They are a blessing to us. They can help lead us to this safe place if they're godly friends. But there are friends that can lead you away from the safe place. And that's why it's so important that we value Christian friendships and make them a blessing in our lives. How does a person get to the place where God is their refuge, to whom they resort often? It would be interesting this morning to hear you answer that. How do you answer that? How does a person get to the place where God is their refuge and they resort to Him often. I don't believe that's answered in one day. I know you make choices. We all make choices. But I think there are some key ingredients that we see here in the life of David that had been growing in his life and that caused him to view God as that place of strong refuge, that place where he would resort often. The one who was a rock for the storms, the rock dwelling place that wasn't moving. It was settled, it was strong, it was secure. And he was growing in his appreciation of God. I could ask a flip side question. If we rarely go to God for refuge and strength, what does this reveal about our view of God? Our view of God's love? Our view of others? I'm sorry, not of others, of ourselves. Our view of ourselves. What does this reveal about our view of ourselves? Having God as our strong refuge, does this mean God will shield us from our troubles? Or that He will be with us in our troubles? I want to make that distinction this morning because that's a misconception that many people have. If God is my strong refuge, if God really loves me, then He's going to deliver me from my troubles and I won't need to face these troubles. But that's not the picture we get in the Bible. The picture we get in the Bible is that God, though He is able to deliver us, and sometimes He does deliver us from certain troubles, the picture we get of God in the Bible is the God who wants to be with us in our troubles and help us through those troubles. And as a Father God who understands what is best for us and has designed our lives in such a way to bring the ultimate glory and praise to His name because He is Creator God. May we give Him that place. And so this morning I would like to look at 6 points in the life of David as to why could David have such confidence in God. And does God want us to view Him the same way David did this morning? I believe He does. I like these 6 points that David illustrates. You probably wonder if I have an acrostic. I do. I have used the word refuge. And it's fine if you want to think of that as you think of it for remembering. I don't know. Again and again, it's a blessing to me in my studies. It challenges me as I think of a word and I think of all the points that tie into that word. It helps me in my own mind think through it. And so that's what I have this morning is the word refuge. 6 points. In terms of that word, refuge. In verse 1, we see David, he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." We see David reaching up in faith to God. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." He did not have his trust in his 401k plan. He didn't have his trust out there in what the president was doing that was going to be a blessing in his life as far as the earthly things that were happening. He was the king, actually, in that setting. That couldn't apply totally. But nonetheless, there is David. He's at his older years in life, and he's coming with this basic concept, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." You see, there was a love for God in his heart. There was a faith in God there that was present. And because he viewed God as trustworthy, yes, do you view God as trustworthy today? If God is going to be our refuge, then we must view God as trustworthy. You see, you don't go to someone and share all your struggles and share the frustrations that you are facing in life if you don't trust them. And David had a view of God that God is fully trustworthy. And as he thought of the faithfulness of God in his own life, he could view back and he could think, you know, there I was out keeping sheep, and that bear and that lion came against me. And you delivered me, Lord, from them. You helped me kill the lion and the bear. There I was, Lord, in the past as I faced Goliath. And I put my trust in you, Lord, and you helped me overcome in that battle that day. As he views God's faithfulness, he viewed God, you know, there with the sheep. He saw God as his strength. And again in the Psalms he writes, and he talks about God as strength. And as he faced Goliath, he viewed maybe God as his shield, the one who would protect him from the sword of Goliath. God was his shield. And again, it was read already, I believe, in the verses Brother Nate read this morning, where he mentioned about God being our rock and our shield. I know at least rock was present there, but David views, he sees God as trustworthy. He views God as his strength. He views God as his shield. He views God as his deliverer. He views God as his safe place. You know, there when Ziklag had been burnt and all those men were sorrowing because their families were gone, where did he go? He went to his safe place. God. That's where he went. He went and strengthened his hand in God, or he went to God. He could think back in the life of Jonathan as Jonathan related to him, and he struggled with King Saul and how his father-in-law was treating him. And there was Jonathan who came out there and strengthened his hand in God. They took him to God. His friends took him to God. God was trustworthy in his life. Reach up to God in faith. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Here's where the verse shifts. And lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, we have two choices. We do not run to God when we lean on our own understanding. Those two just conflict. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God is trustworthy. The proverb writer is saying that. God is trustworthy. But we must trust him. We must trust him. And that's the challenge, you know. We don't want to hand over that blank check. Signed, Lord, I trust you that you know what's best in this situation. I trust your judgment, Lord. I trust how you'll work through my brother. I trust how you'll work in regards to the circumstances surrounding my life. And we fail to find a refuge unless we can sign that. And it's not something you just sign once. I can't tell you that this morning. That's why he says here, whereunto I may continually resort. Whereunto I may continually resort. But I like this picture of David reaching up to God in faith. And my mind goes also to that scene there with Moses. As there Joshua was down fighting and he needed help, and his brethren helped hold up his hand, so there was a victory that day as they reached up to the one who was able to meet their needs. There was a victory that day. You know, there are times in our lives where others step in, as it were, and help us reach up to God in faith. And we need that too. That's so valuable. God has designed that for a blessing in the brotherhood. But we must reach up to God in faith. We must take God as trustworthy. View him as fully trustworthy. Secondly, there's a word in verse 2 that grabbed my attention. And this word, escape. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Escape? What was he trying to escape? Was he trying to escape from fear? Was he trying to escape from the enemies? I think those are all tied together. And I put for my point here, escape from the prison house of confusion and fear. In verse 1, he says, let me never be put to confusion. Now, what happens when you become confused. You can't see things clearly. You're confused. Or you go down, you're saying, I'm a Christian, I'm following God, and then all of a sudden you find yourself confused by the evil one, you end up where you don't want to. There's confusion. And David found God as his refuge. And because he found God as his refuge, he was able to escape from those fears and from that confusion which would ruin his life. And we need that escape. We need to escape. Jesus came to set us free from fear. And Hebrews 2 talks about that. How the devil wants to hold them captive in fear. Through fear of death, we're all their lifetime subject to bondage. But Jesus came to set us free from that. And when we view God as our refuge, then we'll have a place to go with our fears and to throw our fears on Him and to let Him help us think straight in terms of those fears. We need that again and again. I read a quote that came recently in a catalog to my house. It says this: never bear more than one trouble at a time. Some people bear three kinds: all they have had, all they have now, and all they expect to have. God doesn't expect us to live that way, where we're worrying about all those troubles we had in the past and what we're facing now and what we think we're going to face. That's living in fear. That's living in fear. God wants to be our refuge, our safe place, the one we come to and share that with. You know, of course, last weekend I was preaching there in Missouri, and the subject was in terms of the life of Jonathan and David and Saul. You know, that story, that whole story there. King Saul allowed fear to enter his life. Fear of rejection, you could say, maybe. When they praised David more than they praised him, and that whole thing turned into bitterness in his life and anger, and all those bad things came out towards David. No, fear of rejection is a very common thing people face. We want acceptance. We want acceptance by others. We crave that. But fear takes us down a wrong path. We must go to the one who can calm our fears. Fear caused those 10 spies to lead Israel astray and give wrong advice and say, well, you know, it's impossible, but there was two there that day that had a complete confidence in God. God was their safe place. And Joshua and Caleb said, we be well able because the Lord's with us. And He'll bring us in, and the difference that made. You know, fear even keeps men outside of the fold of God. Fear of man keeps men from stepping forward and making that step of faith and salvation that God has to offer us. No fear of what others will think about us. Fear of the cost of true discipleship. There are many fears. Well, let's escape from the prison house of confusion and fear, just like David. As he came to the one, he says, incline thy ear unto me and save me. As he sought that salvation that God had to offer him. For the letter F, in verses 5 through 7, I'd like to make this point. We must find our security in God. Now, I've been stressing that again and again already, but I bring that out. We must find our security in God. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me. You planned my life. You gave me life. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. He didn't just say, thou art my refuge. He said, thou art my strong refuge. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. Down where we're working on the beach right now, and they have that pole set up so that the osprey can have a nest. You know, it's sort of interesting to see the bird land up there and sit up there. But, you know, I had to think, you know, those poles rot. after a while they get shaky and they can break. But that's not how our God is. Thou art our strong refuge. He's always there. He is rock solid. We need to find our security in God. David found his security in God, and so his hope was in God. His hope was in God, and he realized God was always faithful. He put his trust in God's promises. He put his trust in the future promises that God had to offer him. And so his hope was in God because he knew when he left this life, there was a place prepared for him. There was a God who would see him through. And Psalm 23, we could go and read that psalm this morning. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. And he goes down through there and he pictures those things that God gave him. The security that God was to his life because he found God to be real. And his hope was in God, and God was a shepherd. David had this security in God. Yes, because his hope was in God and because of God's past faithfulness in his own life. Can you look back in your life today? Can you see where God has moved? Where God has been faithful? Where there have been challenges you faced in your own life? Where when you've turned to God, he has helped you? Where God has been with you and sought, even through some trying times, where he's taught you lessons and you learned and you grew in that relationship with God? That's only found as we find God as our refuge. Can't grow in that relationship unless God is our refuge. And here again, I stress this part. Why isn't God a safe place for many? It's because they don't have a love for him. They don't view him as a God who loves them. King Ahab could have found God as a safe place, but he didn't. In fact, he said this, I don't want that prophet of the Lord to come here, because every time he says something, it's always bad. He tied the prophet of God with bad in his life. Now, what gave him that warped concept? He was pursuing a wrong God. He wasn't yielding his life to the true God. And so he fought that in his life because he wanted to take his own way. And his own way didn't go in cahoots with God's way. They didn't mesh. And we'll find that too in our own lives. When we're resisting God's will for our life, God isn't a safe place. God isn't a security to us. So we must yield ourselves to him again and again. Fourthly, this morning, for the letter U, in verses 9 through 13, I get this picture where David understood his own neediness. Verse 9, cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. What was he saying here? He's saying, I'm growing old. I'm growing feeble, and I need your help, Lord. And I like that picture. He realized that God was his strength. He realized that God was his protection. And he talks about his enemies and how they're taking counsel together and they're saying, well, God's forsaken him. Let's go get him. And I don't know what goes through his mind. Maybe he's thinking of one of Goliath's brothers, because there he was fighting in that battle that day, and his strength waxed feeble, it says. I believe that's the way it worded. And had it not been for, I forget the name, here was another man there with him, there close by him, who succored him in that day and helped kill this giant, which was one of Goliath's brothers. Mine enemies speak against me, and they're trying to get rid of him. But he says, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded. Let them be covered with reproach. But I will hope in you continually. We need to understand our own neediness. Jesus understood that about Peter. Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But he said, but I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your strength fail not. We need to understand our own neediness. Our need for fellowship. our need for fellowship, not only horizontally, but with God, both. We need fellowship. We need to understand our need for cleansing from sins committed, and David understood that. We need to understand our need to forgive others. That's a need we have in our lives, our neediness. We need God to help us forgive others at times. We need to understand our need to have God's protection on our lives, that hedge of protection around us from the evil one and his forces that are out to destroy us. We need to understand our need to be faithful to the end. You know, that's important, to be faithful to the end. Faithfulness today's not the end unless God ends our lives today. We want to be faithful to the end. So we cry out to God. We are needy. Paul said to the brethren, he said, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. He was desiring to continue on in serving God, and he realized he needed the prayers of others. We understand our own neediness. Yes, when we understand our own neediness, we'll find our refuge in Jesus. Fifthly, in verse 8, in verse 14, as well as in verses 22 through 24, we find this thought of praise coming out again and again. Greatly praise him. That's what I put for that point. Greatly praise him. Thou art my mouth. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor. Notice what he says, all the day long, all the day long. Verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more, more and more. My lips shall greatly rejoice. And that's probably why I put this phrase there, greatly praise him. Greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Verse 23, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Now we know redemption was certainly the springing forth of that praise. It's the basis for that praise. What our Lord has done for us is a means for praise. Now, how could David constantly praise God? You know, what did his praise flow out of? I'd ask myself that question. As I viewed David here in this passage, he had a heart that was full of appreciation for what God had done. Praise flows out of a heart like that when it's full of appreciation for what God had done for him, for what God has done for you. It flows out of a heart that is full of love. You find someone that really loves another person, and you'll find appreciation flows out of that heart. A heart that sees God at work. For David, it was a heart that saw God at work. As God was working in terms of his enemies, as God was meeting his own needs for strength, as God was giving him something worthy of trust, God was at work. God was at work. And his heart was full of praise to God. I believe praise flows too out of a tongue that is set apart for God. So opposite is the tongue that is set apart for himself. Those two, just two different tongues. The one that's set apart for God can have praise for God. The one that's set apart for themselves, you hear things about themselves and their own troubles. So opposite. We want that tongue that is set apart for God. A life that is at peace in spite of troubles, because this life is temporary. In verse 20, thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. His praise was not because he had no troubles. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again, shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. A life that is at peace in spite of troubles, because this life is temporary. David had a hope that was set before him. He realized this life was temporary. And he realized, though he faced these troubles here in this life, and he realized that even God had allowed those into his life, but his hope was in God, and he was praising God for his goodness, especially as he looked forward to deliverance from all this and what God was doing for him. certainly want that praise to flow from our lives. Lastly, for the letter E, we find David desiring here in verse 18, he says, "Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. O God, forsake me not until I have showed this." What was he desiring to do? He enjoyed testifying of God's goodness. And I find that amazing in David's life. God was his strong refuge. God was his rock dwelling place where he continued to resort. And he wanted to be able to testify a little more of God's goodness to himself in his own life, and tell some stories to those that were living in his day and those that would hear in the years to come of, "This is my God. This is the God I'm serving. This is what he has done for me. This is what he can do for you." And I'm just blessed by that. In verse 15, as I think of these verses 15 to 19, "My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day long." And he says, "For I know not the numbers thereof." I can't even put it in a sum. It's so great. It's so great. The vast extent of God's salvation. It's vast. As you grow in your appreciation of God, and as you grow in your appreciation of that great salvation that he has offered us, certainly we want to proclaim that to our children, to those who are following after us. The vast extent of God's salvation. In verse 16, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." He's talking about moving forward. He's talking about what God is able to bring into his life and helping him grow spiritually. "I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." How God helps us onward and upward. He enjoyed testifying of God's goodness. In verse 17, "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." The value of God's teaching program. Doesn't that really touch your heart? When you hear somebody stand up and share what God has done in their own life, maybe thinking patterns they had in the past, and how God has helped them understand that those thinking patterns weren't where they needed to be. And here's what God is doing for me today. And here's how he's showing me today the value of his teaching program versus taking my own way. That blesses my heart again and again when I hear people who, as they grow in Christ and as they rejoice in him, the value of God's teaching program. It's God's work in our hearts and lives, testifying of God's goodness. And David was doing that. God taught him from his youth. Verse 18, he testifies of God's strength and God's power, and he wants to do that to those who are living and yet to live. And then in verse 19, he cries out, "O God, who is like unto thee? O God, who is like unto thee?" It makes me think of that song. I don't know if it's based on this verse. Well, "Oh, who is like Jehovah God, whose goodness never fails?" And that song was ringing in my mind as I was studying. You know, we have a lot of songs we sing, and it seemed like different songs kept popping in my head this morning or last night. Again and again, we sing songs that bring us back to this reality. There are ways we can praise God for his goodness. You know, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. The Lord of Lords, supreme throughout eternity. The great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more. Just the way songwriters have put some of these thoughts into song. Now, David has it all through the Psalms as he put this into poetry. Well, can it be said about me? Can it be said about us? O God, Or is this our heart cry? Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. And then we come and we make that statement, but thou art my strong refuge. This morning, God wants to be our refuge. God wants to be where we run to again and again. In fact, he says in Romans, we can call him Abba Father. Abba Father. God wants that place in our hearts and lives. May we give him that place. May we come to him with our troubles. May we go to him with our joys. May we find that relationship with him grow as we learn to trust him. Shall we kneel? Dear Lord, today we give you thanks, Father, for the blessing of your redemption. We realize, Lord, that you have not put us here without hope, but that you have brought hope our way through Jesus. And we give you thanks, Lord, and we pray, Lord, that our faith would continue to be rooted and grounded in you, Lord. We would trust you even in the trying scenes of life, Lord, that we would trust you all the more, Father. And in the joys of life, that we would trust you, Lord, and that we would share our joys and our sorrows with you, Father. Lord, it burdens our hearts when we see those who fail to put their trust in you, Lord, who do not view you as a safe place, who have not learned to pray to you, Lord, who have not learned to come to you with their troubles, but rather view you as someone who is against them, Lord. Oh God, we just pray that you would deliver us from such evil thoughts, Lord. And help us, oh God, to be able to encourage others on in the way to glory. Help us, oh Lord, to be just like David, be so excited about what you have done for us and what you are doing in the lives of your people and what you have done in the generations past, that we have plenty to share with the rising generation of your wondrous works and of your goodness. Forgive us, Lord, where we have fallen short of you in that way. Continue, Lord, to strengthen us in our resolve to be a blessing to those around us. Thank you, Lord, again, that we can come to you and escape from the fear that is ruining so many hearts and lives today. Father, you have been so faithful again and again. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to the close of life, knowing, Lord, that you are able to see us through death's portals, and usher us there eternally, that great shepherd, the one who will lead us to the fountains of living waters. Thank you, Lord, again for your faithfulness as our shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We rejoice in your love. We realize, Lord, that you have a plan for each one of our lives. And we want, Lord, to faithfully fit into that plan and accomplish what you would have us to accomplish. Bless us in the coming days, should you tarry. Keep us, O Lord, from the evil one and his wicked snares. May they not snare our souls, none of us here, Lord, but may we surrender to you and experience the protection that you offer us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.